A blessed Sunday morning, GCFEs. Good morning, everyone. Welcome and thank you for joining us today for worship. Even to all of you who have joined us in online, let us all rise and join me as I read Psalms chapter 62, verses 1 to 12. Let us read. For God alone, my soul waits in silence. From Him comes my salvation. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be greatly shaken. How long will all of you attack a man to batter him, like a leaning wall, a tottering fence? They only plan to thrust him down from his high position. They take pleasures in falsehood. They bless with their mouths, but inwardly they curse, Selah. For God alone, O my soul, waits in silence, for my hope is from Him. He only is my rock and my salvation, my fortress, I shall not be shaken. On God rests my salvation and my glory. My mighty rock, my refuge is God. Trust in Him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us, Selah. Those of low estate are but a breath. Those of high estate are a delusion. In a balance as they go up, they are together lighter than the breath. Put no trust in extortion. Set no vain hopes in robbery. If riches increase, set no your heart, not your heart on them. Once God has spoken, twice have I heard this, that power belongs to God, and that you, O Lord, belongs steadfast love, for you will render a man according to his word. Bless the reading of his word. Now, let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, our Redeemer and Good Shepherd, we come before you today with a humble heart and our faith lifted up. Your name is set high and above all others' name. Thank you, Lord, for your amazing and your endless love. We pray, O God, that you would bless every aspect of our worship as we sing praises to your name and worship you in spirit and in truth. Prepare our hearts and minds, O Holy Spirit, and make us all receptive to the truth of your word, through your servant, our pastor, Erwin Kimboy, in Christ's most precious name. Amen. Let us join our hearts and voices in singing praises to our omnipotent and ever-faithful God.
Good morning po uli, GCF East. Yes, the world is, you know, celebrating the love month, no? Love month daw. But for the church, Sunday after Sunday, Sunday in, Sunday out, we always celebrate the love of God. Let's sing this song. We've sung this song last Sunday. Let's sing it again today. Come, people of the risen King.
Sing to the morning star of praise. From the shifting shadows of the earth, we will lift our eyes to Him, where steady arms of mercy reach to God our children in. Rejoice. joyous morning sun and those weeping through the night. Come those who tell of battles won and those struggling in the fight. For His perfect love will never cease, His mercies never cease. But follow us through all our days with a certain hope of peace. Rejoice, rejoice, let every tongue rejoice. One heart, one voice, O Church of Christ, rejoice. Sure, we hear them call the truth that cries through every age, our God is all in all. Rejoice, rejoice, let every tongue rejoice. One heart, one voice, O Church of Christ, rejoice. Let us rejoice. Let us rejoice in the love that God has given us. We are here to praise Him. Let's celebrate. Let's sing this song, "The Lord is My Salvation." The grace of God has reached for me. Solid ground, the Lord is my salvation. I will not fear when darkness falls. His strength will help me scale these walls. I see the dawn of the rising sun. The Lord is my salvation. Who is like the Lord our God, strong to save, faithful in love? My debt is paid and a victory won. The Lord is my salvation. My hope is hidden in the Lord. He floors each promise of His word. When wrinkled face and a spring will come, the Lord is my salvation. In times of waiting, times of need, when I know lost, when I am weak, I know His grace will renew this days, the Lord is my salvation. Leave me in the grave, but I will rise. He will call me home. The Lord is my salvation. Who is like the Lord my God, strong to
seat.
Reminders to everyone, health safety protocols during worship services. Let us always remember the following safety protocols as we continue to gather in person here in our church. Always keep your face mask and face shield on and be mindful of physical distancing. If you have not done so, make sure to drop your contact tracing form after writing down your temperature in it in the designated drop boxes before leaving the premises. Kindly exit the sanctuary right after the services. If you must socialize, pick an area that is not congested and has free airflow. For your own safety, we encourage you to bring your own filled water bottles to church. Please make sure that the cover are secure so that to avoid cross-contamination. Water dispenser will not be available. Thank you for your understanding. In-person church services. Reminder to always reserve a seat for in-person services each week. Only 100 seats are available on a first-text first-serve basis. Only those who ages 15 to 65 will be allowed. Text your name to the following cell phone numbers, 0922-246-1282 and 0915-703-3042. Please reserve early, preferably before Saturday. so we can prepare the contact tracing form before early on Saturday. Cancel your slot as soon as you know you are not, you are unavailable to make it, so to others can take your place. Online Children's Sunday Worship, we would like to remind everyone that we have an online children's worship every Sunday. Videos are posted at 7 a.m. on the GCF East Sunday School Facebook page. Encourage your children ages 15 and below to be part of this special time of worshiping the Lord. Membership class have been started yesterday via Zoom. There were 6 who attended yesterday's first session. If you have been attending this church and the Lord has been working in your heart to be part of the body of Christ here in GCF East, please see Pastor John Descartin so that he can include you in the ongoing class. Please be assured that Pastor John will get you to speed to catch up with the class yesterday. We are inviting all young adults, ladies, to join this virtual Bible study via Zoom every Saturday starting at 2 p.m. Right now, they are engaged in the study of the Gospel of John. To join in for more information, please text or Viber Sister Lay Porzuelo at cell phone number 0916-912-0413 or Sister Cindy Dolormente at cell phone number 0927-163-8707. So now we go to the recognition of our visitors. This is now the time that we recognize our brothers or sisters or friends who join us for the very first time for worship. If this is your first time to have joined us for worship here in GCF East, please stand from where you are seated so we can recognize you and welcome you and sing you our welcome song. Any first-time guests in our midst today? Don't be shy. Yes, there is. Praise God. Let us all stand and please let us greet one another with a smile, with a wave, or even with a bow as we sing our welcome song. It is now time for us to give our offering to the Lord. Let us remember the words of the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, as we give our offering. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7 reads, "Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves the cheerful giver." Church, let us reminded of 3 things as we give to the Lord this morning. First, giving is a decision we have to make in our hearts. Second, giving is from a willful heart. And third, giving is born out of a cheerful heart. Let us pray. Thank you, Father, because you are faithful to equip us with all our needs. You are faithful to have given us all the resources we need to walk with boldness and authority in this life. You are God that provides us what we need above and beyond our expectations. whether it is healing, restoration, protection, or peace. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of making us part of your kingdom in this place of worship. As we give to you our offering, may your holy name be honored and glorified. All this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As we have been doing since we started meeting face to face, we request that you drop your offering to the following box located near the entrance of the sanctuary. For those of you who are watching the live streaming of this service, you can still give your offering through, number one, online bank transfer to Green Hills Christian Fellowship East Inc., BPI Peso current account number 4091-004203. Or online bank transfer to Green Hills Christian Fellowship East Inc., UCPB dollar account number 11152000636, or at GCF East PayPal account. You can access at gcf-inc.org/give/ in our church website. Thank you, and God bless us all.
Our pastor will be speaking on Psalm 130 this morning. And before he speaks, let's sing about that. Let's all rise. This is quite a new song. Just follow me along the way. I will wait for you. Psalm 130. Lord, from the depths I cry to you. Lord, hear me from on high and give attention to my voice when I for mercy. Places I will call. Incline your ear to me anew, and hear my cry for mercy. Were you to count my sinful ways, how could I come before your throne? Yet full forgiveness meets my gaze. I stand amazed by grace alone. I will wait for you, I will wait for you on your word. I will rely, I will wait for you, surely wait for you till my soul is satisfied. Sing with me. Your hope in God alone. Take courage in His heart to say, completely and forever one, by Christ emerging from the grave. I will wait for you, I will wait for you. Himself has paid a price.
that all would trust in Him today, find healing in His sacrifice. I will wait for you, I will wait for you.
Everyone, kindly open your Bibles to Psalm 130. And in reverence for God's word, may I ask everyone to please stand as we read all together this beautiful song. Psalm 130. A song of ascents. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my pleas for mercy. If you, O Lord, shall mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, that you may be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in His word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord, more than watchmen for the morning, more than watchmen for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with Him is plentiful redemption. And He will redeem Israel from all his iniquities. May God bless the reading of His word. You may now take your seats. Pray with me. We praise you, Lord, for this beautiful song that speaks loudly of how we feel, our total dependence on you, our neediness, Lord, for your forgiveness, for your grace, and for that sweet fellowship. Lord, we thank you that in spite the pandemic, we can still be gathered together. Oh, Lord, we thank you indeed for your word. We thank you for technology. In fact, we praise you, Lord, that even people, our friends and families, Lord, can join us to worship you. And so, Lord, as we ponder upon this sweet, sweet song, allow the meditations of our hearts and minds and the words that will come out of my mouth be pleasing to you and you alone. Search our hearts, O God. Preach, teach, and confront if confrontation is needed. Yet encourage us, Lord, with your precious word. This is our heart's cry with much, much thanksgiving. In Christ's most precious name, amen and amen. Good morning ulit sa inyo lahat. It's wonderful to be gathered together. This year marks my 16th year in the pastorate. And I truly praise the Lord for giving me the privilege of serving Him, wretched as I am. I served 2 years in Laguna. That's my first pastorate. And 9 years in Tagumpay. Dun lang sa loob ng Valley Gulf yan. In Cuatro. It's called Cuatro because it's near the fourth hole of the golf course. I served there for 9 years. And last February, this February is my fifth year with GCF East. And again, all throughout the ministry that God has entrusted me, I was given the privilege to be watching people's eyes light up. When the gospel is preached to them, and because of God's grace, it made sense. Oh, how wonderful it is. I would not exchange that experience. I used to work as an engineer, but hindi kayang tawaran. It would not match the joy that I had when I see people in repentant faith surrender to Jesus. I've had many child dedications as well. Some of them are in their teens already. Right? I have solemnized many weddings. In fact, I have two batches of mass wedding. The first batch was 8 couples. The second batch was 4 couples. And napakarami na talaga na experience as a pastor. Truly, God has blessed me to be part of these joyous occasions. But ministry is not all bliss. I've done many funerals as well. It's hard to be in the deathbed of people whom you hold dear to your heart. But dear ones, one of the most heartbreaking, I think, as a pastor is when you know someone, when you have someone you hold dear to your heart fall into sin. On top of my head are two young men whom I counseled before for the same sin. Separately, okay? Two different occasions, two different cases. Both young men professed to be believers. Both young men were actively involved in the ministry. But sadly, they fell into sin. As I was counseling both, again, separately, as I was listening to them relay and retell their stories, I discerned two different responses. The first young man I was counseling shared with me how sad he was for being found out. How he was so concerned about the consequences of his sin. How this would affect everything that he was involved in. Ministry to be taken away from him. He can no longer do things that he enjoyed. And how other people would see him. I met him a couple times. Then he stopped going to church. The other young man shared his grief as well over the sin he committed. He was crying when we first met. When he first entered my office, he was sobbing already. He knew about the consequences of his sin, all right. But the first thing he mentioned was, how could I do such a thing? How can I betray my Lord? I knew all along that it was sin. And during the times I was doing, God was already convicting me, but I chose myself instead of God. Then I asked him, why are you feeling this way? Sabi niya, because I earnestly desire to honor my God who saved me and gave me eternal life. But I chose fleeting pleasures over my God. Then he cried again and asked me, am I even a believer, Pastor? Graciously, I told him, I think so. Because someone who is genuinely a believer of Christ would be that crushed, would be that broken, and would be that desperate to be restored when he is in the pit of sin. I say when, not if. Because believers would continue to sin. You see, a believer and an unbeliever would both struggle with sin. But the difference is how they respond when they sin. An unbeliever, perhaps a professing believer who would be found out if he indeed is a believer, would be bothered for personal reasons. They don't like the feeling of guilt. They don't want what people would think of them. They don't want the consequences. Yes, they would confess their sins, but they would rather stay in stealth mode. They don't want accountability. They want to be restored right away to the things that they love doing. But again, if you would search the heart, it would still be self-serving and self-gratifying. A genuine believer, on the other hand, would be crushed because he knows it's an outright rebellion against God and His Word. Why am I saying this? Psalm 130 is a psalm that shows us those convictions. Now let me remind all of us that again, this is one of those songs that the pilgrims sing on their way up, ascent, but on their way up to the holy city to worship God three times a year. In fact, I'm led to believe that it could be very well be the song that they sing as well when they go down from worshiping. Think about it, friends. They go up to the holy city, offer sacrifices, and those sacrifices are for atonement of their sins, diba? Yet it could be very well be that as they were going home after going through the sacrifices and offering, it hit them hard of the gravity of their sin. Diba? We have those moments when we hear a beautiful song about God's goodness and how wretched we are, when we hear a powerful preaching, a faithful preaching of God's love and our utter need for a Savior, it's very convicting. You see, dear ones, a true, genuine believer of God understands that the problem in this context for these pilgrims going up the holy city, the problem is not the people who mock them that we found in Psalm 120, remember? Those evil people who treat them with contempt because of their faith. It's not the enemies that almost engulfed them. Had it not been for God who paved the way and saved them, we saw that in Psalm 124. It's not those who hate God's people mentioned in Psalm 129. It's not even the difficult terrain. Di ba sabi natin, it's difficult for them to go up. It's not even the threat of robbers and bandits. They can and has caused problem. But a genuine believer of God understands that the number one problem in his life is sin. Sin that still remains. The greatest danger that lurks in the life of a believer is what will be discussed in Psalm 130. The greatest struggle is that they would worship a holy God, and as they learn more about the holiness of God, year in and year out, they are made more aware of their own sinfulness. Diba? And in this side of the cross, the same is true. A faithful and genuine believer of Christ, a true born-again Christian, would grow more and more aware of his neediness of God's mercy. As he grows closer and closer to God. Before you begin, I'd like to say this. I sincerely pray that that is the case with each and every one of us. So with your Bibles open to Psalm 130, we would see two expressions. Two expressions of a genuine believer when in the pit of sin. We would see later why we say pit. Two expressions, and these expressions are coming from the heart. In verse 1 to 4, we would see that a genuine believer would cry out to God in broken desperation. A genuine Christian would cry out to God in broken desperation. In verse 5 to 8, we would see that a genuine believer would wait upon the Lord in expectant faith. Two expressions of a genuine believer when he or she is in the pit of sin. This is a psalm that we go to when we fall into the pit of sin. You know those sins that we understand that are truly sins, but it's just so hard. It's just so hard. And friends, more than being informed, let me speak to you from the heart. More than teaching all of us, more than educating us with this text, I pray that this would serve also as a test. Are you this broken? Are you this desperate when you fall into sin? Because you would be found out if indeed you are a believer when you fall into sin. I pray that as we all together study Psalm 130, we would be informed and we would be convicted about these two expressions coming from one who truly believes and one who truly loves the Lord when he falls into sin. Again, let me refresh your memories because we had two Sundays break from this series. The Songs of Ascents are 15 Psalms from 120 to 134, and we said there seems to be a structure. There seems to be a five sets of threes wherein we would see trials, trust, triumph, trials, trust, triumph. Psalm 130 is a psalm about trust. And he would see it begins with utter desperation. And as he continues on trusting the Lord, and as he continues on waiting on the Lord, it ends with a celebration. Let us now look at the first heading. Notice how the writer feels as he expresses to us where he's at. Look at verse 1 and 2. Out of the depths, underline that phrase, out of the depths, I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my pleas for mercy. Opening verses pa lang, mga kapatid. The opening verses present to us a very hard situation. That's why we entitled it, When You Are in the Pit. What did he say? Out of the depths. Depth here is portrayed as being in an overwhelming body of water, so deep that you can't swim your way out, that you might sink. The writer is in such a mess, so deep that he would sink. That's how he's feeling right now. That's why he's crying for help. Listen to another psalm that speaks of the same and uses that phrase, out of the depths, to have an idea how the writer is feeling right now. Psalm 69, verse 1 to 3. Save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. I sink in deep mire where there is no foothold. I have come into deep waters, and the flood sweeps over me. Verse 14 of the same Psalm 69, 14. Deliver me from sinking in the mire. Let me be delivered from my enemies and from the deep waters. Let not the flood sweep over me, or the deep shall swallow me up, or the pit closes its mouth over me. He is in such a mess. He's in the depth. He's in the pit. Notice the poetic way that this writer shows us his pleas, his cries. Notice how the theme cry is repeated in different ways. Verse 1, out of the depths, I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my pleas for mercy. Can you sense his brokenness? Can you sense his desperation? The psalmist is in anguish, dear ones. The psalmist feels pressed down, afflicted, oppressed. His circumstances are demoralizing. It's crippling him. He's on the borders of life, far from safe haven of comfort and rest. Look at those two verses again, and you would see a pattern all throughout this passage. Notice how the writer used two names for God here. He was in the depth, and from it he called out to Lord, capital L-O-R-D, all caps. And you know what that name is, Yahweh. He was in the depth, and from it he calls out to Yahweh, the name God gave to Moses in the burning bush. And we have been repeating, and I don't want to assume that we know, and it would be foolish of me to assume that. That name stands for the self-existing one, the self-sufficient one, the one who is creator, the one who is the covenant-making, covenant-keeping God, the one who is faithful. Who is he crying out to? The one who is faithful. Then in verse 2, he pleads to Lord. Capital L, then small O-R-D. It's talking about Adonai. And that name depicts God as master and ruler of all. So here we see the writer has a biblical portrait of God. You see how this confession, how this crying out to God is indeed God-centered. He has a biblical portrait of God. God who is faithful, yes. But God who is also just and sovereign and master of all. Verse 3 would tell us, what's the big deal? What's going on? Verse 3 tells us that what the reason was for his brokenness. Why is he crying out for desperation to Yahweh? Why is he pleading Adonai? Verse 3, if you, O Lord, if you, Yahweh, see the pattern there? Should mark iniquities, O Adonai, who could stand? The word that he used here, iniquities, comes from a root that means bend, twist, distort, which describes sin rather well. Hindi ito yung slip up or foul ups. No, these aren't just good faith mistakes. But twisted, crooked, and at times premeditated behaviors contrary to God's righteousness. He was crying out of the depths because of his iniquities. That is why I said it's in the pit. This is what we pray when we are in those episodes in our Christian walk wherein we are in that pit. You know, those sins that we know are against God, but we choose it anyway. And afterwards, we feel rotten to the core. These are high-handed idolatries that even believers harbor in their hearts. Those times that we intentionally and deliberately choose self rather than God, this is talking about the highest degree of lying, the highest degree of anger, deception, pride, and lust. Napansin niyo ba, mga kapatid, that he did not give us any detail about his sin? Did you see that? Did he tell us what his sin was about? We do not read that here. There's no explanation as well, diba? There is no explanation. There's no justification. No excuses. We know that he is in the depths of his sin, yet we never hear him concerned about what other people would think of him or what the consequences of his sin would be. Most of the times, we brush off the seriousness of sin. Going to God for help. But in reality, if we search our hearts, what we really want is just relief. Relief from pain and rescue from the consequences of our sin. Don't get me wrong. We go to God for those. Yes, we cry out to God for those concerns. But let's learn from this writer. The writer sees sin as it is. Look at verse 3 again. If you, Yahweh, one who does not need anyone, one who is all-powerful, one who is creator, the one who is faithful, yet I failed you. If you should mark, other translations say, if you keep or if you record my iniquities, O Adonai, O Master and Ruler, who could stand? Literally, who could stand upright? What's the obvious answer? No one. No one could stand upright. And you know what the frightening truth is? God does keep a record of wrong. He does keep a record of our sins. Revelation chapter 20, verse 12. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books, according to what they had done. Verse 13, and the sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one of them. Hindi kopong-kopong. It's not prepare. You would face God on your own. According to what they had done. Friends, without an advocate, we would be facing a holy and righteous God who would give us what we deserve. And He would be all the same praised and glorified. Don't ever think that God is just glorified when He saves people from their sin, saves people and gives them eternal life. God is just the same glorified when He sends sinners to hell. Without an advocate, without someone paying for our sins and imputing on us His perfect righteousness, indeed no one can stand upright before Yahweh, before Adonai, faithful ruler of all. Again, friends, we ought to learn from the psalmist. He was crushed and feels so utterly broken because of his sin. In fact, we don't know what that sin is because he viewed sin as God views them. Tendency ng tao, tendency of man is we would make excuses. We would justify. We would water sin down. Because man would say, as long as my good deeds outnumbers or outweighs my bad deeds, I'm okay. Friends, you know how dangerous that is? Such lousy view of sin would lead us to deceive ourselves, thinking we're okay when we're not. God's amazing grace indeed is amazing. That saved a wretch like me. But friends, God's amazing grace is so amazing that He gives you a new heart. He gives you a new disposition. Yes, we still are in our frail bodies. Yes, we would still sin. But we would be crushed. We would have these expressions. We would be utterly broken. We would be desperate to be restored into fellowship because we know, we see sin as He sees it. Friends, when we are confronted by God's Word, what do we do? Specifically, when we are confronted by God's Word with and about our sin, how do we respond? Nauna kasi siya. He started it. I'm just reacting. He provoked me. Well, they were the ones who hurt me first. Friends, this is where we would see the difference between a professing believer and a genuine believer. What did we hear from this man who was in the depths of his sin? A biblical understanding of the doctrine of sin. The writer was God-centered with regards to sin. That sin is ultimately an offense, detestable to God. The Bible tells us no one has standing before God when it comes to sin. Romans chapter 3, verse 19. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped. And the whole world may be held accountable to God. There's no escape. We will all be held accountable. Verse 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Many nowadays expect confession of sin to be painless and forgiveness instantaneous. I don't want the process, Pastor. We seem not to realize that sin may have a lasting natural consequences. Indeed, we tend to forget that sin can be so offensive that the offensive party needs to hear more and more of your words of confession. Let me give you an example. Consider your son, consider your daughter who disobeys you. Maybe you said you gave her or him a warning, but he or she did this and overruled, just disobeyed you. Perhaps he broke a beautiful lampshade or a picture, perhaps the window. What would you do when he or she tells you, "Dad, I'm so sorry"? Probably that's not sufficient, right? On a human level, the psalmist is resolved to deal with this problem because he sinned against an infinite, eternal God. And he understands what to do. And when he is in the pit of sin, he cries out to God. Notice verse 4. Verse 4, but. Don't you like those conjunctions? Right? Verse 3, if you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, and he does. O Lord, who could stand? No one but with you. Yahweh, with you, Adonai, there is forgiveness that you may be feared. The beauty there, dear ones, is that no matter how lonely and empty the psalmist feels, because he feels alienated from God because of his sin, we don't know what that is, but he feels he is in the pit. But even though he is in that situation, he knows that he needs to go and run to God still. He knows that God is not far away. Thus he cries out for forgiveness. I don't know what you're going through right now. Maybe some of us are in that pit. Maybe you're being convicted right now. And maybe you might be saying, it may be too late, Pastor. Dear ones, there is never too late in the economy of God. The reason perhaps why you're listening to this, the reason why perhaps of all the psalms that we are studying, you are listening to this psalm, is because this would be a means of grace by God to show you your way back to him. The psalmist cries out for forgiveness because he has already, listen, experienced mercy and forgiveness from who? The faithful God. Yes, experienced that already in the past. We can all identify with this, diba? It's identifiable. We were saved very beautifully from within. We were made new and now have a new disposition to please God and love him and serve him. Yet there are times, in fact, you may be there right now. Those occasions, seasons in our lives where we find ourselves loving ourselves more than loving our God. Those sins that we find it hard to win over, that we struggle with. Maybe it's pride for some of you, or some of us. Maybe it's lust. Yet to others, maybe it's a burst of anger. During those times, we give in to them, and they seem okay. It's justifiable, but after that, we feel rotten. Friends, take this passage to heart. Yes, no one on their own can stand upright before the Lord who would judge every one of us for every sin. But to a believer in Christ, to you who has surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, to you who came to Him in repentant faith, you have an advocate who would defend you, who is praying for you. In fact, He died in your place. The sinless one for the sinner, the righteous one for the wretched. Run to Him. Run to Him, dear one. Run to Him. Ask Him for forgiveness. And have Him renew that sweet fellowship with you. We are talking about a believer who is in a season of sin. Let me share with you. You know John Wesley, that great English theologian? Did you know that he got saved in May, in an afternoon of May 1738? So, ang tagal na nun, right? And he got saved when he was listening to the reading of the preface of Martin Luther's work on the book of Romans. Right? He got saved. But did you know that prior to that, few hours before that, he was attending a Vesper service at St. Paul's Cathedral from which Psalm 130 was being sung as their anthem. There, he was greatly moved. And it became a means that God used to soften and open his heart to gospel salvation. Maybe just maybe, you're here today. Perhaps listening to our live stream. Perhaps you are here and you're not sure. Maybe you have not fully and truly surrendered to Christ. I pray that God would grip your heart right now and open your eyes to the wickedness of our sin and our neediness for the Savior. Because when we face Him for that day of reckoning, it is indeed a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living and holy and just God. Unless you have an advocate, friend, you cannot stand upright. The Bible says this is the day of the Lord's favor. Scripture says this is the hour of salvation. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Now, to those of us who have believed already, let us learn from the psalmist. You see, the psalmist knows two things. Two things about God. That God detests sinners, yet He is able and willing to offer forgiveness to those who come to Him. How should one deal with guilt? Some people choose denial. They refuse to believe that they are truly guilty. Some choose rationalization. They admit that they're guilty but blame it on others or something. It's the country. It's their parents, it's the school, it's the culture, it's the government, it's the genes. Others tend to do a relativization, right? What does that mean? I would say, yes, I'm guilty, but he's guilty as well. So, no biggie. Have you ever played these games? Instead of denying, instead of blame shifting, the psalmist gives us the way to deal with the root of guilt and sin. Admit it, confess it to the Lord in order to receive forgiveness. In order to receive forgiveness. So the question here is, are you confessing sin to Him? Are you? You know what? The way to cover our sin is to uncover it by confession. God hates sin, yet He is willing to forgive. And we see that displayed at the cross. Where we see the one who is the perfect one, sinless, unblemished, perfect, beautiful beyond compare, carried the sins of those who would believe in Him. And He received all the righteous anger of God in order for us to be saved. in order for us to be forgiven. Praise God, di ba? That He can and He is willing to forgive. Who? Broken and desperate sinners who cry out to Him. There's one more important thing. I know, it's a good thing we don't have a second service. One important thing that I want you to note. Look at verse 4. But with you, there is forgiveness. That, purpose clause, you may be feared. What does that mean? The psalmist is telling us the natural response of one who has been forgiven. He who is forgiven much loves much. Hindi ba? When we understand God's forgiveness, we will rightfully fear and honor and respect Him. Listen to Charles Spurgeon. He says, "None fear the Lord like those who have experienced His forgiving love." Dear ones, let me ask you, do you fear God? Maybe the root cause is because we have a low view of sin. We have a twisted view of God. On the human side, forgiveness is the ultimate goal. On the divine side, forgiveness is for us to fear Him, to respect Him. Don't you love the Bible? Don't you love Scripture? Don't you think it's beautiful and wonderful that we have Psalms like this to go to? Diba? Because to be very honest, it speaks to all our hearts. Hindi ba? It speaks to all our hearts. And we need this. What do we do when we are in that season? Cry out to God. Cry out to God. Have a biblical view of God. Have a biblical view of sin. Cry out to God. Before we go to the next heading, will you look at your Bibles again and open your Bibles to Psalm 130? Did you notice that up to this point, the writer is using the first person singular pronoun? Diba? Verse 1, out of the depths, I cry to you, O Lord. Verse 2, hear my voice, to the voice of my pleas. If you, O Lord, verse 3, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there's forgiveness. Verse 5, I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in His word I hope. Verse 6, my soul waits for the Lord. That's glorious, friends. Let me explain why. The psalm of ascents, diba? What is that for? It's to draw us closer to God, diba? As they prepare themselves to worship God, they sing these songs, right? To prepare them as they draw closer to God. And one thing we've learned in our Christian walk is that the closer we know God more, the more that we God more, the more that we know we are sinners. Diba? I want you to pause for a while. How did we start the Song of Ascents? Psalm 120, the main concern for the psalmist was what? Dwelling with evil men and their sin. And now as we get closer and closer to Psalm 134, we see the climax. Psalm 130, what is the great concern? His own sin. His own sin. Once again, dear ones, the greater the maturity in Christ, the greater the consciousness of your own sin. You see, a genuine believer would cry out in broken desperation unto God when in the pit of sin, to be forgiven, to be restored. I pray that this can be said about us. Now let's go to the next heading. This will be brief. Another expression that we can see in one who is truly and a genuine believer of God is that he waits upon the Lord in expectant faith. The psalmist continues by expressing his commitment to wait for the Lord. Right? He has presented his petition. He's asking for forgiveness. And now we see him wait. Look at verse 5. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits Did you notice again? Capital, all caps, Lord, my soul waits and in His word I hope. What does waiting involve? What does waiting involve? Let's find out. Look at other Psalms. Psalm 62 verse 5. For God alone, O my soul, wait in silence. Psalm chapter 40 verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord. So according to Psalm 62, this type of waiting involves silence. According to Psalm 40, this type of waiting is waiting patiently in great expectation. Here in Psalm 130, it involves what? Hoping in what? God's word. You cannot divorce Christian living with His word. In each of the three verses that we saw, one thing is common. Ano yun? All of them were looking to the Lord. They are longing for God and God alone. Because they know God Himself is the only one who could do the work. And you know what? We know more than what the psalmist knows. Because in Jesus Christ, the final work has come. Diba? Them, they needed a priest. Diba? We have the high priest. Them, they needed a spotless, unblemished ewe lamb. We have the Lamb of God who could take away the sins of those who would believe in Him. So dear ones, what do we see here? Let us not base our hope in our emotions, in our feelings. Base your hope in the Word. Study God's Word as you wait for Him. How much of your Bible do you read? How much of your Bible do you know? What is this waiting like? In verse 6, the pilgrim says that he waits like a watchman. My soul waits for the Lord more than the watchman for the morning. More than the watchman for the morning. Napansin niyo? The multiple times that wait was mentioned. Twice. Verse 5, wait. Verse 6, wait. Then the whole phrase, more than the watchman wait for the morning. You see, the repetition is a poetical device that tells us the intensity, that tells us the deep sense of longing by this psalmist to be truly restored. The writer used vivid imagery here to express his great anticipation. What does that mean? Like the watchmen in the morning. You see, in their culture, there were assigned watchmen, and they watched different shifts, right? And the watchman would stand guard during his duty. A certain portion of the night, they're aware of the time. They don't have clocks then yet, diba? But they are aware of time. We see a watchman in the darkness of the early morning scanning the horizon, guarding his post. And at the first sign of dawn, he knows. He does not doubt that the morning will come. Hindi siya nagdududa. He knows that morning will come. And this is like the writer saying, I wait, like the watchman wait for the morning. He knows that the morning will come. And I will be relieved from my post, from my duty. The other watchman will come. The writer is eager. He has confidence that as he waits, indeed God would answer. Indeed God would give him new mercies, new grace in every morning. But friends, this is not passive. This is not passive waiting. This is an active waiting. What did we see in verse 5? How does he wait? Hoping in the Lord. He used the time of waiting to actively set his hope upon God's word. I don't know where you're coming from right now. Maybe you're in a period of waiting. How do you wait? Are you in the word? Are you reading His word? Are you embracing God's promises in Christ? Friends, practically speaking, based on this text, one of the ways we should express a deep longing for the mercies of God, especially when we're in the pit of sin, is seeking Him in His Word. So let me ask you, not as your pastor, but as a fellow believer in Christ who also struggles with this, what do we do when we're in those pits? Do we set our Bibles aside? Wag. No. It's the means of grace by which God would respond, give us encouragement. I know some of us, and or maybe most of us, are very busy. But please fight. Please fight for a time you designate and allot for reading God's Word. Not just for the sake of moving the bookmark, but just to listen to God's Word and listen to His heart. And pray. Pray. The Puritans used to say, pray until you've prayed. Don't be in a hurry. Don't be in a hurry. Seek God in the quiet place of your heart. Protect your daily communion with God. And long to see, as this watchman was longing to see the rising sun, long to see the risen Son, S-O-N, as He ministers to your heart. Can you look at verse 7? O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with Him is plentiful redemption. Here we see what happened to the writer as he was waiting on the Lord, as he was putting his hope in His Word. Did you notice? Now that he mentions other people, di ba? A few verses earlier, he was praying. What is he doing now? He's preaching. He was so convinced of the beauty of going to God in times of struggle with sin, asking Him for forgiveness, asking Him for restoration, and he is convinced that he's encouraging others to do the same. Having been refreshed as he was waiting on the Lord, as he puts his hope in God's Word, we see him now encouraging others to do the same. What else did we see? What else did we notice? Verse 7. Prior to verse 7, we saw a pattern. Yahweh Adonai, Yahweh Adonai, Yahweh Adonai. What do we read here? Yahweh, Yahweh. And that is so beautiful, dear ones. That is so beautiful. The psalmist employs three pairs of divine names, Yahweh and Adonai. In each, the three pairs occur in the same order. Yahweh, Adonai, Yahweh, Adonai. Hindi nag-interchange. But now here in verse 7, as he closes, he uses and repeats Yahweh twice. He's faithful, dear one. You may be in a place right now of sin. Cry out to Him in the depths. Cry out to Him. Agree with Him that sin is sin. If we confess, di ba? If we agree with Him, then rest in that truth that He is faithful and just to forgive you of all our sins. We have reason to hope in Him. The writer is encouraging others. Yahweh is faithful. Yahweh is faithful. And His mercy is so great that in verse 8, the psalmist says He can redeem people from how many? All their iniquities. In the words of Paul, in the other side of the Bible, in the New Testament, Romans 5, Paul says, where sin abounds, grace abounds even more. So then the picture is that God forgives sinners who repent. The message here, dear ones, of Psalm 130 is a message of hope. That when we are in those times of being in the depths of our sin, regardless of how deep the pit is, God's love is deeper. What sort of forgiveness do you need? Right now. Do you need salvation? Come to Him. Do you need restoration? Go to Him. We can't go elsewhere. We can't go elsewhere. Expressions of a genuine believer when he or she is in a season of sin. He understands that sin is rebellion towards God, yet he goes to God anyway and cries out for help. I pray that you would do the same. I sincerely hope that you would do the same. You know what? As we wait upon Him and hope in His Word, Yahweh, the faithful one, indeed is faithful to those whom He has rescued. Lord, we thank You for this wonderful song. We ask for forgiveness, Lord, for the many times that we fail You. And at times, Lord, we just bank on that amazing grace. Make that as an excuse. At times, we just make 1 John 1:9 as an excuse. Yes, Lord, there's always forgiveness ready for those who would come to You in repentant faith. But we also know, Lord, that we ought to be responsible, Lord, to present every members of our body, Lord, of our whole being to You. Teach us, Lord, to value that beautiful fellowship with You. Teach us, Lord, to value Your Word. Lord, we thank You for this beautiful, beautiful reminder that when we fall into sin, Yahweh, the faithful one, Adonai, the ruler of all, is indeed faithful and just to forgive us of all our iniquities when we confess and agree with Him. Thank You for teaching, O God. We praise You for today. As we depart this place temporarily, we pray that You would bestow upon our hearts that conviction to indeed glorify You in how we live, worship You in how we think, exalt You in every word that we say, declare Your excellencies with our thoughts. Salamat ng maraming, Panginoong Diyos. Salamat po ng marami. Dismiss us with Your blessing. May we be found, Lord, to be people with these expressions. May we be found, Lord, to be people who regularly go to You, even when we're not in those pits, Lord, because we know that from You, in Your presence, O God, is fullness of joy. And at Your right hand are pleasures forevermore. May we desire more of You, Lord, as we wait for Your coming back. Wherever we are, wherever we go, and whatever we do. In Christ's most precious name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you, everyone. We are dismissed, and I pray that you would take care. Ingat kayo, ha? God bless.